Tonight we want to see what we call different levels of intercession. There are different kinds of prayer, different types of prayer. There are different levels of praying in tongues. And tonight we want to see different levels of intercession. And we're going to make an analysis on that using the Hebrew word for wait. Bible talks about waiting on the Lord in Isaiah chapter 40. And it's in verse 31, it says, "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Even a young man will faint, and yet those who wait on the Lord shall not faint." And it's interesting that the Bible used the word wait. And as we read in our English translations of the word wait and waiting on God, it may not convey to the fullness what the Bible represents. When we talk about waiting on God in English, people think about just sitting down and waiting for God to do something. But in the Hebrew, when we talk about waiting on God, there are some things that are taking place in our lives. It is not passive, it's very active. Or there is an involvement that is involved, or a change that is required in our lives. It's different from just passively waiting for a bus to show up, or waiting for God to show up. The English word waiting on God gives us sometimes the wrong connotation and meaning that here we are waiting and it's God's turn. It's God's turn to make the move. It's God's turn to take the initiative. However, that is not what the Bible wants us to have. Let's look at the Bible and take from our text Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 31. It uses the word, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength as a mount with wings like eagles." There are basically three Hebrew words for wait compared to our English one. There are three Hebrew words for the word wait. The first Hebrew word for the word wait is, as in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, is the word quava, quava, and Q-A-V-A-H. And that's the same word that we have read just now, quava. And it speaks about a waiting that is in great hope and in great expectation, and it's also used in Psalms 25 verse 3. Let's give all the scriptures first of Quava. Psalms 25 verse 3 says, "Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause." Again, the word Quava is used. Also Psalms 37 verse 9. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Apparently, waiting on God is very powerful. "Those who wait on God shall inherit the earth." Psalm 69, verse 6. "Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel." And that's again the word quava. And also in Lamentations chapter 3 verse 25, you do us good to just read all these scriptures. "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." Now, notice the word soul mentioned, because this will be the key to the interpretation of the differences. "To the soul who seeks him." This waiting of quava is a description of a seeking of God. It's a soul reaching out into the depths of God. When we talk about seeking something, it means that you have an objective, and you are looking high and low for something. Of course, God is not lost. We were the one who were lost, and God found us. But yet it talks about an attitude or heart of putting God first and reaching out. It speaks about the soul stretching out into Him. Lamentations 3:25 bring a very close clarity to the meaning of the word quava. And the second Hebrew word, let me just give all the word first, for wait is the word chaka. Chaka. C-H-A-K-A-H. Chaka. And it has a totally different meaning. But in our English translation, in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, Isaiah 64, verse 4, let's read. It's also translated as wait. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. Who acts for the one who waits for him. The interesting thing here is a rendition of the same verse differently by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul's quotation of the same verse in verse 9 changed the word wait to the word love. And that gives us a clue to the meaning of chaka. So let's read 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. For those who love Him. Wow. The word wait has been replaced by the word love in 1 Corinthians 2. And we'll explain it later. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3. Chapter 2. And in verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Without the help of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it looks similar to the earlier verses. It's very hard to differentiate at first in the English. One more verse, Job chapter 3 verse 21. Job chapter 3 and verse 21. Who long for them but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures. Where's the word wait? Where's the word chaka? That is the word long. Who wait for death, who long for death. Now the reason we give you all these verses, because we can differentiate there some evidences of the word wait. And you notice here that the word wait in chaka speaks more about the attitude of our heart towards God. Like Paul mentioned how Isaiah 64 verse 4 ties out the 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 8. Talks about our attitude of the heart. He changed wait to love. And here the word wait has been, chaka has been translated as long. It talks about our attitude in reaching out to God. Our innermost beings that reaches into God. And so it talks about expectancy of things that are coming, drawing out of ourselves. Whereas the other one, quava, you notice it talks about seeking something. There's a slight difference. Quava talks about the emphasis is on what you're looking for, the object. Here in chaka, the emphasis is on what is within you, your response. When you're seeking for something, it is more your objective that is important. And you have to have in mind what you're seeking for. And so there's a different perspective. Now, one more word, and then we'll begin to explain it. The next word for the word wait is found in Psalms 42, Psalms 62, verse 1. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God, from Him comes my salvation. Notice that the word wait is in italics. If you have a good translation, you should have put that in italics. If your translation didn't put in italics, then it's not a good translation. And the word wait, or they just put my soul waits on God. But the New King James puts my soul silently waits. The whole word silently waits is from one Hebrew word. It's from the Hebrew word dumia. Dumia. And spelled D-U-M-I-Y-Y-A-H. Dumia. And it means a silence of the soul. A silencing of the soul. And it's a different word for wait. My soul silently waits for God. One more scripture, and that's the word chapter 65 of Psalms, verse 1. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. So it speaks about a silence that is there, but that praise is waiting to rise out of that kind of silence. That's the picture, dumia. And it's not a dead silence, but there's an expectancy in that silence. It's like the calm before something happens. It's like the silence that takes place before the runners are ready to spring forward, waiting for the signal of the gun. For a moment, everybody just expectantly and silently watching. It's like the silence that takes place when the bridal march is played, tang, 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 right? And everybody rises and looks, and people stop talking as all their eyes look forward to the bride that comes in. And so it's an expectant silence, not a dead silence. And as you know, quietness and silence can be taken in the wrong way. Even the graves are quiet at night. And so this is a silence that is expecting something to happen. And so there are three Hebrew words for the word wait. And each one of them deals in different area. The first word, kwava, has also been translated as bound in two other scriptures. One is in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 9. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. Where it says, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. The word gathered together is the word kwava, which means to be bound. Jeremiah 3:17 or so, but you won't read that. It's also used in a normal sense of the word bound. And so the word kwava speaks about reaching forth into the depths of God. The emphasis is in God taking a hold of our being. And it emphasizes on union with God. The word kwava gives us a picture of being intertwined together with God. They that kwava on God, they that kwava on the Lord, shall renew their strength. They that bound themselves together with God, and God binds himself to them, then God and us become one, and our weakness disappears, and God's strength become our strength. That is why Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 speaks about waiting on God like the eagle renewing its strength. Because Quava speaks about an impartation from God, where God imparts a part of His being into us, and our being becomes a part of God. There's a binding together. There is a union between man and God. And that takes place in Quava. The other word, chakaf, speak about a building up within our soul in desire and in anticipation. It speaks about a quickening within our lives unto God. That's why Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 8 the word love to replace the word wait, as in Isaiah 64 verse 4. And that speaks about a working. The word wait, chaka, actually also literally means to wait with great earnestness. The emphasis is not on the bounding, but the emphasis is that everything within us, every part of our emotions, every part of our soul, every part of our will, every part of our intellect, every part of our spirit, soul, and body reaches out with longing towards God. So Paul says, love. Those who love the Lord. See, he replaced the word wait for love. It talks about something rising from within us. Whereas the other Quava talks about interwoven, binding together with God, and God becoming a part of us. Here is something rising up from within us. Red hot on fire desire for God. That is what the word wait talks about here in Chaka. The other word, Dumiya, the third word that we consider, which is also and normally translated as silent, speaks about a calm that takes place within our soul. A calm is silent. For example, if right now we were to bring forth a physical silence, or we were to take you and put you into a soundproof room where no noise can reach into that room, where the only noise possible is noises that come from you, and we shut you up and you do not make any noise, yet you could still have noises of the soul. Then the soul can be very noisy at times. For example, right now when you try to pray, if you have not sort of done some preparation, and if you just rush from doing some work in the world or something, as you try to come into prayer, and as you try to get into the realm of the Spirit, your mind is still on your work. Your mind is still on your housework. Your mind is still on some physical activity, and your mind is still, the thoughts are running all over the place. Here you are, you know you want to concentrate on God, you want to concentrate on prayer, and your mind is running all over the place. All kinds of thoughts are there. Your mouth is not speaking. Yet there are noises inside you. What I call the noises of the soul. And Dumiya has not taken place yet. When Dumiya takes place, there is an internal stillness and silence. And then truly you can say you have waited on God. All of your soul comes down, is quietened like a baby that is weaned of its mother. It's quiet and silent inside. And of course we realize that is a good position to hear the voice of God. We cannot hear because there's too much static sometimes within our soul and our spirit. And we need that stillness to come within it. Having described that, let's apply that into intercession. And for that, we need to understand that the realm of the Spirit, there is no time. And as far as God is concerned, the realm of the Spirit exists today. And we realize that when we pray about things, what we are praying about, do you notice, is the future. You're praying about your past, you're praying about how your past will change so that you can have the future you want to. All our prayers are actually reaching out into the future. Think about it for a moment. Even if you need healing in your situation and in your life, or touch from God, and you're praying right now regarding the area, what do you want? What you want is not praying for that area. But what you want is praying away that area into another area which you want to be free from that. In other words, if you're sick right now and you're praying for healing, it's one thing to see your condition and pray it away. It's another to see what you actually want and pray into being. And what people must realize is intercession is reaching into the future. Intercession is reaching into the future. Intercession is creative work. It's the creation of natural events and natural substances through the spirit realm by spiritual laws. For example, you want something to take place in your life and you put intercession inside, what are you doing? You are asking for supernatural intervention and control of circumstances so that it changes to be what you wanted it to be. Because bearing in mind that it works when it's only when it's in line with the will of God and the word of God. It will not work if it's against God's word and it's for our own selfish reasons that are contradictory to God's word. But basically, we need to make this statement strongly that all prayer, all intercession is reaching into the future. What you want to be, what you want circumstances to become like, and things that you want it to come to pass, is all basically reaching into the future. We are not just dealing with our past, because we want to change the past, and we want to change the present, and move on into the future. But basically, it's reaching into the future. And if you don't see that, then your intercession is actually backtracking. It's not real intercession, it is merely backtracking and complaining. True intercession reaches into the future to bring it into manifestation. It's creative work together with God. So having seen that all intercession is reaching out into the future, and as we realize, right now the future in God exists. In the spirit world it exists. Things have to exist in the spirit world before they exist in the natural world. And what happened is that we are reaching into that spirit realm which exists today and bringing it into manifestation. You see, in the spirit world where God dwells, there is no time. And when we move or let our spirit, how shall I put it, float into God's presence, you could actually see your own future as easily as you see your past and present. Because in that spirit realm, there is no past, present or future. When our spirit moves into the realm that God moves in, our spirit could move into the future. Do you know our spirit can travel through time? It's something that today is only in storybooks. But our spirit can travel through time. When the prophet saw some of the visions that took place and prophesied, what are they doing? Their spirit traveled through time. They saw everything and they went back to their generation and told about it. Our spirit can travel through time. Hallelujah. Time travel. It can travel into the past and then make a record of all those things. It can travel into the future. See, our spirits travel through time. Some people understand that the spirit can come out of the body, but that's too simple. Oh, my spirit came out of the body. So what? And go back again, go in and out 1,000 times, what's the use? Coming out, your spirit coming out of your body is just nothing. Of course, our spirit must be free enough to ascend into God. Some people's spirit are not free enough. It's too earthbound. They are wearing spirit-laden shoes. It's too tied. They're too tied up to this world. Their spirit is too tied to their soul to ascend into the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it's one thing to see that our spirit can ascend into the spirit realm and detach itself from the body. And although they see a connection, of course, but our spirit can detach itself from the body and ascend out of this body. And my spirit has left my body several times. Right? I know exactly what it's like. And you can't consciously do it, alright? It's nothing to do with astral traveling. That's demonic. Okay? That's demonic. And in the demonic realm. And but God can catch your spirit up into Him. So, understand that there are two peculiarities of spirit traveling. One is our spirit can rise outside of the physical dimension. The other is, when it has done that, it can then move to time. It can move into the past. It can move into the future. The spirit can move through time. And it can move into your future and see some things and come back and then give knowledge to your soul. Now spirit can move in that time frame, timeless frame of God. Now what happened is, for it to happen, and for us to mold our future in the spirit realm, there are several ways that men try to mold their future. It's either through spirit, through soul, or through body. Men who are dead spiritually are trying to mold their future through their soul, through their planning. But sometimes, after all that they plan and scheme, something unforeseen happens and the whole thing falls apart. And so men through their soul and through their physical activities are trying to mold the future. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. We have an additional resource, the spirit realm. And in that spirit realm, we could mold our future. Prayer is the crucible where you can mold your future and control your destiny. We are not fated. We have a free will and a free choice. And the crucible of prayer is where we can mold our future into the perfection that God wants it. You say, why must I mold it? For there are other forces that are trying to mold your future. All you have to do is do nothing, and external forces will mold the future for you. Circumstances, people, and demands made upon you, and all the external things will mold your future. If you don't make a decision and make life white. This life is interesting, is all you have to do to fail is do nothing. Do nothing and straight away you will fail. So you have to keep moving against the tide. Do something in order to succeed in God. And so we have an instrument to mold our future from the spirit realm. And let's see the spirit realm again, as we always like to describe it. Where God sits in the center of the universe. With Him, past, present, and future are the same. There is no such thing as time. He is the beginning, He is the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The wheel within a wheel. Then, all around God are these creations of His. He spoke them into being and they continue in existence in what we call time frame. But no time frame exists in God. And so as we move outside of God's presence into the creation of God all around, time exists. And so you could see the past, present and future on the outer spokes of the wheel. Just like a bicycle wheel, there is a circumference, and then there is a place where all the center spokes
are. Now imagine God seated right in the center and radiating in spoke from him are his creative work. All along the circumference of the ring, of the wheel within a wheel, are the creation of God. From the past to the future, everything, past, present, and future, that God has created. And all these things that exist in the circumference of the rim of the wheel within a wheel is the time frame of God. We are in existence in this realm. Yet the Bible wants us to move further than that. Although we are in this world, we are not of this world. The Bible says, set your affections on things that are above. Ephesians 2 tells us we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We are there and yet here. How can I be seated in the heavenly places when here am I on this old planet earth? Talking about the spirit realm. In our, the spirit realm and in our spirit, we can move into the realm where God exists and move back here. We are to remain continually in that realm and guide our lives and affairs from that realm. Now, in this other spoke, there is some areas where what we call disobedience is taking place, where people cut off the spoke of God's control. And when they cut off, if we could see the spokes that come from God controlling his universe, God is still in control, generally speaking. He could interfere if he wants to. But he has set laws into motion, and to man's free will and choice, man has at times chosen to cut the spokes of God's control. The moment they do it, the universe of man as they know it, and the world that man exists, begins to run on what I call principles that are in existence by themselves, that have been released by God, like the law of sowing and reaping and all these things that are in existence, the cycles that God has set, the sun going in its path, the moon going around the sun, solar system, things that is already in existence. So men who have cut their relationship from God, still continue reproducing, still continue existing, because there's a cycle of life that God has already created, the reproduce of its kind. But what happens is that cycle is existing without the help of God now. And there's imperfection in the cycle. And as a result of that, there will always be bad things happening out of that cycle. Because God is no more in that area. He is in the invisible general control, but his control has been released. And if you study in this realm, you can realize that there are different views of God and creation. Some say that the universe is pantheism, and that the universe is God. But that's not what the Bible says. God is in existence by himself. The universe has its own existence. When God created the universe, he created laws to sustain and run by themselves. So that when man chose to cut off from God, the universe continues in its imperfect existence. With the grace of God interfering here and there. Otherwise the world would have gone into doom long ago. And so, there is this universe, and it exists, and man has cut out spokes of God's control. From time to time, there have been men on this planet Earth that reaches into the realm of God, and God's control has been brought upon this Earth. That is through prayer. See, now the spokes of God's control have been cut from the creation of man. When Adam and Eve sinned, the spokes of God's control were cut off. The whole universe was in darkness. But the world continued existing because God created the world to exist on its own law by itself that he has created. It has the origin in God, but now its continuation is no more in God. It's in rebellion against God. as I God one day has to make a new heaven and a new earth. And as they continue existing, God teach men laws from the time of Genesis. How to put that spoke back. Since the spoke was broken from this side, it needs a response from this side. God could easily, with His almighty power, force Himself on the earth. But because His law abiding in the universe is created, He prefers to have free will operating. And so on this planet Earth, it existed on the circumference of the rims of God's creation. There have been men and women from time to time who have reached into God, and they have linked up with God. They put a spoke out and connect with God's spoke that are reaching out today. And with their help, the world has sort of tossed here and there, and we're going a little bit off, and then the men and women of God hear prayer and reaching out in God, and the world has been adjusted a bit here, back to God. And whenever there's not enough intercession, the world going out into rebellion, and then the men and women pray, connecting back to God. Can you imagine that's going on for nearly 6,000 years of human history? It's going on that way. And in the personal lives of people too. So there is a universal, cosmic, and there is a personal. It's taking place all the time. There's folks that are reaching out into God. Now this is where the three Hebrew words come in. In order to link back the spoke, you need number one, Quava. You need to reach into the realm where God exists and bind yourself to Him. A binding together between you and God. That needs to take place. And that binding needs to take place. That means you have to build one spoke out into God. So that God and you become bounded, interwoven together. And then it carries you. It carries you into the next realm of your future. Can you see that if we could link our spokes to God, we will be carried into the will of God and He plans for us in the future. If it's not linked to God, the next phase may not be God's will. It's our free choice. So we need to link with God in order to walk into the radius that God wants us to walk in. Otherwise, without that link, there is no cohesive force to bring us into God's will. So Quava comes in prayer and it forms the spokes. You can call it spokes of divine light, will and guidance with God. Chakra speaks about the abundance. You see, the word chakra has been translated also as long, earnestness, desire. One talks about the formation of the spoke. The other speaks about the length of holding on as well as the amount of spoke. Now for that, we need to leave this illustration and bring another one. A plant or a tree cannot exist on just one tap root. It does not. I'm sure you all remember your biology when you know the plant has a tap root and then they have the other secondary root. Plant or tree does not exist just on one tap root. The tap root is there, but the plant needs to put up secondary roots. Spread it out left, right, center, all over the place. And the longer its roots, the stronger the plant. And recently I was reading one article about grass, and they're trying to produce grass that don't need watering much. Water twice a year. Wouldn't that be interesting? The only way they could do it was to produce grass which has very, very long roots. And they had still on the experimenting stages. And they had developed out grass which has extra long roots. So long that it could reach into the water under the water under the fall table. So that on the surface where there's no water, it's still having water down there. So the roots are important. Can you imagine if it's just root singular? The one kind of a plant. And so we know that that's only a strong plant. So in the same way, we do not just need root in God, we need roots in God. And what happened in Chaka is it talks about the formation of not just one root or one spoke, but many. Not only is our spirit linked with God, in Chaka, your emotion is linked with God, your mind is linked with God, your desires are linked to God, your whole being is linked to God. Can you imagine the amount of roots that take place now? Oh, bear in mind, all these you could move into a different realm. For example, when a person operates in the spirit and a prophet begins to know things, how do they know it? A part of their knowing has to take place with their soul. Because if God reveals to them in the spirit and they speak up spirit language, it would not edify anyone. I could say, I know what is in the spirit. You wouldn't know it, my mind wouldn't know it. Who does it benefit? That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said that if I say speak in the spirit, nobody understands me, nobody is edified. But they are edified when God begins to reveal some things in the natural to the mind. They're translated into the mind. See, then that's when it begins to edify. And that was just supposed to be an illustration, but as I zoom on you, really something is beginning to come forth. And God is talking about, some projects that you're going to move into, it's going to open ways unto you. He's speaking unto you in that area, and he's giving you ideas, and he's going to teach you how to move into there. Now, then that edifies. If I just say, Google, his spirit may get it, my spirit may get it, but it doesn't help anybody. But when the interpretation comes, now how does it come? My mind has to be in tune with God. My mind has to have a root in the spirit. You better believe that. If my mind doesn't have a root into the spirit realm, my mind will not get a communication from the spirit realm. It would be like a vast gap. Spirit is spirit, soul is soul. We go in divorce path. No, it's not a divorce, it's a marriage. It's a relationship between the spirit and the soul. So what happened in Chaka is where not only my spirit has a root in God. You see, in Krava is the development of a binding into God. The tap root is formed. The tap root is formed. The main root is God. That is your spirit. See, there's no way you can develop Chaka without developing Krava. There's no way. There's no way you can come to God unless you're born again, washed by His blood, and He gives you a new spirit. Then from that forward, you can develop your spirit man, nurture your spirit man, until your spirit man grow into God in such a depth and strength. Then with that formation, you could put up other lateral secondary roots. Your mind, your emotions, everything within you begin to also reach out into that realm, which is what I call the timeless realm. Your mind begins to reach into the things of the spirit which reveals the future. Your emotions begin to sense the things that are coming forth. Everything within you, all the secondary roots begin to form. Chakra begin to form. Can you imagine the strength that you would have now? Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. Why? Because your next step is definitely in God. The guidance, the totality of God's guidance is there. And of course, the cha-cha has to take place together with Dumiya. What is Dumiya? See, Dumiya deals with roots that you have in the wrong place. It has to be cut out. The silence of the soul that can... Our soul can never be silent as long as it's too worldly. We have to retain what I call a detachment from the world. Otherwise, Jesus would not say you're in the world but not of the world. He would say you're in the world and of the world. But the fact that he says you're in the world and not of the world, and the Bible emphasizes so much on being unworldly. Unworldly. So different from the world. What does it mean? Not taking root in the world. Bible says in the book of 1 John that if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not in you. It does not coexist. It's not possible to be spiritual and worldly. The two doesn't go together. To be spiritual is to be unworldly. And so, for Dumiya to take place, you see, every one of us, when we were born into this planet Earth, was born with attachment to this world. We are born into a world where the people see temporal as eternal. We are born into a world where we are trained on temporal things and temporal skills so that the temporal looks as if it is real and eternal. And friends, our roots were here in this world. Now, I'm not saying that you're totally cut off from the world and you don't exist on the mountain somewhere. Because Jesus did say you're in the world. He did not say you're not in the world, not of the world. That was a different story. Isn't it marvelous? It's very balanced. You're in the world but not of the world. And we are here, different, but yet here. And so we were born with our roots in this world. We were born with all our emotions in this world. Our intellect in this world. Our will influence in this world. But when we are born again, a change starts taking place in our spirit, and sadly to say, some changes do not take place in some Christian soul like it should have. What God wants is for Dumiya to take place. There has to be a cutting off. A cutting off. You can only put your roots either there or here. You can either let your emotions be affected from that realm or from this realm. You can either let your thoughts be thoughts of the spirit realm and in line with the word, or things that are contradictory to God's word. You cannot have both. You either have a good thought or a bad thought. You cannot have good bad thought. Goody bad thought. Or very good thought. You can't have a mixture of very good thought or good goody bad thought. You either have a good thought or a bad thought. They don't go together. So it's a choice that we make. And we have to make that choice and begin to cut it off. My word has made you clean, Jesus said. That's why Jesus talked about those who bear fruit in John 15. It says, you still need to prune them. Why? Because the fruit you bear are the spirit realm bearing into this world. Then after that, you got to cut them off and then you continue bearing more fruit. It's a continuous process. To live unworldly and to live spiritually is a continual decision. It's not once for your lifetime. It's a daily decision. You could leave a prayer meeting and spend the next 3 days in the office on cloud Jesus. Cloud 9. And then you begin to neglect the word and prayer. You begin to hit rock bottom. And you begin to find your mind, your emotions, and your will, and the choices you're making beginning to be affected from the worldly perspective. It's not something that you do once. It's something that you continually do before God. So, Chakra and Dumiya need to be taking place all the time. But they're budding of roots in you. And if you are a strong tree in God, through the years, you put up so many roots in God that you will literally be like Psalm chapter 1, a tree planted by the rivers of water. Strong. And you know what kind of tree it is? The leaves do not wither. It's unaffected by the spirit of death. And it will bear its fruit in its season. That's what we are doing as we are reaching out into God in prayer. Some of those items that you are listed down, some of the things you are praying, are in the future. What you are doing is you are reaching into that timeless perspective of God, and then you take a hold of it. And having taken a hold of it, see, you are reached into a good ground. You are reached into waters. Having found it, and being a good plan, you begin to put up lateral roots into it also. Then you allow your emotions to move into that. Your will and your mind to move into that. Everything moves into that area until that which God shows you in the spirit realm becomes to be translated into your present experience. It begins to come and take place because you're drawing the nutrition and nourishment. And that's what we are doing in prayer. And every time we pray, you put out a new root in the God. You know, they tell you that if you have adequate exercise, I'm talking of physical exercise for a moment and using it as an illustration. Health scientists or doctors that make a research and they tested patients, and they come up with some laws that they discovered in the natural with God and made all the while. In exercise, you have what you call a curve. You have too little of it, it's not good. You have too much of it, it's not good. And it begins to overdo it. And it's just like overdoing, overrunning your car. So there is a curve where it's the maximum. And they say that when you have adequate physical exercise, just sufficient, that some people who have heart condition and heart problems and blood circulation problems, they begin to, one of the things they found was that new blood cells, new arteries and veins began to form even in their heart. A whole new channel began to form inside. Fresh channel. In the same way when we pray, and we have sufficient spiritual exercise, there are spiritual channels that form. And every time you pray over a certain matter, you have formed one more lateral root into that area. You form one more, and guess what? You're going to form it so strong that there's no way the devil is going to take it out from your life. It will definitely come to pass. It will surely come to pass. That is why the book of Habakkuk says, though the vision tarry, Chakra, put more roots into that. Wait for it. It will surely come to pass. It's a matter of time. As you just keep putting more and more roots into the reality of it, verse 4. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. We ask, oh God, that you continue to teach us how to wait on you. And move into the realms, Lord, of intercession, that as we begin to move from level to level, O God, you continue to deal in our lives. You deal, O God, in help us bring it into the present experience, Lord, as we launch into the things of the future. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, Lord, and see your will and your work in our lives. even as we reach into you and wait upon you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.